delegates from all over the world, VIPs, are attending to express their ideas and to experience peace in a very real way themselves. This experience will enable them also to draw new laws for universal peace. This will be endorsed by heads of state and submitted as a practical form for the United Nations. Delegates from all over the world, VIPs, are attending to express their ideas and to experience peace in a very real way themselves. This experience will enable them also to draw up new laws for universal peace. This will be endorsed by heads of state and submitted as a practical form for the United Nations.
Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you no matter what you're doing. I do believe that God has a message for you today, and it might not be a message that you want to hear, but it is a message out of the Word of God. Today's message is going to be called Hollywood Christians and a Churchy World. Hollywood Christians and a Churchy World. You know, I recently heard in the news that Hollywood has an increased interest in Christianity today. The reason is because apostasy is everywhere. And our churches are filled with Hollywood Christians. I don't know about you today, but everywhere you look, what you see is people, churches, pastors, musicians, they all want to be famous. They all want to be in Hollywood. There's actually professed Christians online with pro-homosexual websites. One is gaychristians.com and another is christiangays.com. You know, as professed Christians are becoming more and more like the sinful world, the world is accepting them. You know, Jesus stated in John 15, verse 19, that the world loves its own. If we were of the world would love his own. You know, a worldly believer will be accepted by a sinful world. A worldly believer will be accepted by a sinful world. Most believers today are worldly. Therefore, the world accepts them. This is why there has been so much talk of Christianity in the entertainment industry nowadays. Sadly, there's no longer a dime's difference between professed Christians and a sinful world. The world has become churchy. The world has become churchy. Now, there's a phrase that I want you to understand. I want you to understand that the church has become worldly and the world has become churchy. I don't know about you, but there's an organization today that wants to have a world religion, a world religion. And just like we are going towards a world economy, just like we're moving towards a world economy, we're also moving towards a world religion. So along with the world economy, there's going to be a world religion. And this is why the church has become worldly and the world is becoming churchy. The sovereignty, or I should say, the world is becoming bigger and Jesus is becoming smaller. You know, there's Christians today that all they care about is their social status. They go to church only for social gathering. They go to church only to look good in the eyes of people. They go to church and they compare themselves with others. And these kind of people do more harm to the church than they do good. They do more harm to the church than they do good. You know, the Bible says in James 4:4, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So today, the reason why when you travel, you don't see many crosses on the church. Today, the reason why reason why the church, and you meet somebody and they say they're a Christian, but they act no different than somebody in the world, is because we live in a churchy world. And everybody's spiritual today, and everybody's some kind of churchgoer today, and, you know, we have totally become either a worldly church or a churchly world. And this is the problem that we're on. No longer do we have the sovereignty of Jesus. No longer do we have the independence of Jesus. There is a word that I'd like you to know. It's called eucumenicalism. Eucumenicalism, and if I'm not pronouncing that right, forgive me, but eucumenicalism is promoting the fostering of Christian unity throughout the world. It wants to promote Christian unity around the world. You know, as the church becomes more worldly, the world will continue to become more churchy. John 15:19. In other words, as the church sells out to Satan, the devil's crowd will love the apostate church, which is no church at all. Most professed Christians today are as lost as can be, still in their sins without Christ. And they're hellbound. Every hellbound Catholic claims to be a Christian. Every hellbound Lutheran claims to be a Christian. Every hellbound Methodist claims to be a Christian. Every hellbound Baptist claims to be a Christian. Come on, somebody. Every hellbound, I could go on and on and on. You know, 17% of the congregations of the Unitarian Universalist churches are atheists. So much for the term church. But you need to understand that Satan's goal is to deceive the masses. Satan's goal is to deceive the masses by bringing the world and organized religion together. You know, the genuine Christian today discerns the vast difference between organized religion, which has gone apostate, and the new local New Testament church, which is composed of individual born-again believers who obey the Word of God. In preparation of the New World Order, or I should say the beast system or the coming Antichrist, it is necessary for Satan to condition the world masses to receive him. You know, Satan is in the process of conditioning American churches today. He's in the process of conditioning the mainstream churches to accept him and to promote not only the one world economical system, but a one world religious system. Eucumenism is the apostate vehicle for which Satan is corrupting organized religion today. So Satan wants to condition the masses to accept organized religion. But not only that, we have people who claim to be Christians. We have Christian singers who are in pornography or pornographic material. We have people that claim to be Christians and are working for Playboy today. You know, there is quite a big problem that we are having in America today. We have so many worldly Christians. So many worldly Christians today that you can't tell the difference. You know, we also have churches that hire ordained lesbian pastors. We also have people that are in the president of some of these Baptist conventions that are also part of Freemasons. So not only that, we have half Christianity, half Freemason. There is really one step with the devil, one step with the world, and what we have is worldly Christians. It's very sad today, but I must warn you today that Satan wants to he's in the process of training the masses to accept the one world church. You know, another question that you have is, why are non-Christians and worldly Christians are so prosperous financially? Why? You got your televangelists that have a lot of money. You got some of these famous preachers, they seem to have a lot of money. But why are these worldly Christians and non-Christians, why do they have a lot of money? The Bible is very clear in Psalms 92:7. When the wicked springs as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Proverbs 1:32. For the timing away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, so why does God prosper non-Christians? Why does He prosper worldly Christians? Well, the reason will be is the prosperity that they have will be the very tool to destroy them. The Bible says prosperity destroys the foolish, but is a blessing to the wise. You know, prosperity will be the one tool that will destroy a wicked man. You know, part of the destruction process for the foolish is their prosperity. You know, the Bible is very clear that there is a problem with worldly Christianity today in America. You can see that by the crosses. You can see the hunger for money. Psalms 37:34-38. Wait on the Lord and keep His ways, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away, and lo, he was not, yea. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You know, not only that, but we have the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul also talks about worldly Christians today. Paul talks about the very issue in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, but hitherto ye not were able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Very interesting today that the word carnal means that you're worldly. You're worldly. You know, the brethren in Corinth had not reached the state of spiritual men. They were carnal, undeveloped like babes. I have fed you with milk. When he was at Corinth, he treated them as babes, teaching them the simple, rudimentary principles. Milk, simple teaching. So you got your milk, and then you got your meat, the stronger and deeper doctrines. In the school of Christ, like all others, the teaching must be adapted to the advancement of the learner. Ye are yet carnal, hence still not spiritual enough to receive the higher teaching and hidden wisdom and meat. You know, worldly Christians have always been around in the Bible, those that claim Christianity today. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is training the masses to accept the world religion. The world is getting bigger, and Jesus is getting smaller. And there's coming to a time where you even pronounce the name of Jesus, it's going to be an abomination. And I'm telling you today, we are here more than ever. We're here, and this is a very concern. And I tell you, church, if you better have a big cross on front of your building. You better have Jesus on the front of your building. It's getting more evil every day as we turn towards a one world global economical system. And if we're going to have a one world global economical system, we're also going to have a one world global religious system. You know, the proof that they were yet carnal was the existence of division in the church. Walk as men, exhibit the jealous and disconduct spirit characteristics of men of the world. When one said that I have followed Paul, and the other said I follow Apollos. The fact that they were divided by different human leaders instead of following Christ demonstrates that they were yet carnal. You know, the Bible is very clear that worldly Christians, just like it did back in that day, existed. It also exists today, and I think it exists more today than ever. It exists more today than ever. If you go to church because you want to please people, you are a worldly Christian. When you're in church and you are comparing yourself with somebody else, you are a worldly Christian. Now, we all have some humanity in us. The Bible says we need to live in the world, but yet not be of the world. Doesn't matter. Do we all have some worldly characteristics of us? Yes, to a point. But the worldly Christians that I'm talking about, they have just become friends with the world. They've become friends with the world. That means their spirit and the world's spirits are one. These are the kind of worldly Christians. You know, the Bible says in James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy towards God. You know, if we have a fair warning to avoid a criminal friendship with the world, you adulteresses, men and women, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Worldly people here are called adulterers and adulteresses because of their perfidiousness of God. While they give their best affection to the world, covetousness is elsewhere called idolatry, and it is here called adultery. It is a forsaking of Him to whom we are devoted and espoused, to cleave to other things. There is this brand put upon worldly mindedness that is enmity to God. You know what's very interesting? You hear what the Word of God says. You give your best front to the world. I don't know how many people in the church today, in the mainstream churches today, that gives their best to the world. They look good in front of the community. They look good towards people. But I got to tell you, if the world loves you, the Bible says in James 4:4, friends of the world makes himself an enemy. Makes himself an enemy of God. You know, it's very interesting that a man may have a competent portion of the good things of this life, and yet may keep himself in the love of God. But he who sets his heart upon the world, who places his happiness in it, and will conform himself or herself to it, and do anything rather than lose its friendship, he is or she is an enemy of God. It is constructive treason and rebellion against God to set the world upon His throne in our hearts. How many people today go to church and all they think about is their money? How many people today go to church and all they think about is their honey? How many people just want this out of the world and that out of the world? God says, how can you love the world and me? Come on, somebody. I'm not telling you that God doesn't want good things for you here on this earth. I'm not telling you that God don't want to give you great things in life. But what I'm telling you is a certain those people that they seek after the world's approval, and somehow they think it's God. I know you're not listening to me today, but I believe that God has a message for you. You know, he who acts upon this principle to keep the smiles of the world and to have its continual friendship cannot but show himself in spirit and in his actions too an enemy to God. So if you continue to serve the world, don't tell me that you love God. If you continue to watch all these movies and watch evil TV, don't tell me you're of God, because there's a continual spirit. You know, there's a continual spiritual connection between the world and you. You know, because you can't show yourself in the spirit and also in the actions too. You cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew 6:24 says. Hence arise wars and fighting, even from the adulterous, idolatrous love of the world, and serving of it too. For what peace can there be among men, so long as there is enmity towards God? Or who can fight against God and prosper? Think seriously with yourself what the spirit of the world is, and you will find that you cannot suit yourself to it as friends, but it must occasion your being envious and full of evil inclinations, as the generality of the world are. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? James 4:5. The account given in the holy scriptures of the hearts of men by nature is that their imagination is evil, only evil, and that continually evil. Genesis 6:5. Natural corruption principally shows itself by envying, and there is a continual propensity to this. The spirit which naturally dwells in man is always producing one evil imagination or another. Very interesting. Watch television producing evil imaginations. Satan, in the process, preparing the church, preparing your mind through television. You ain't listening to me. Preparing the world for a global economical system. Preparing the church for a one world religion. Come on, somebody. The world is getting bigger. Jesus is getting smaller. I don't know about you today, but I'm here to tell you there's so many Hollywood Christians. And not only do we have a worldly church, but we also live in a churchy world. Everybody somehow connected to the spirits. Everybody somehow is connected to a religion. It's okay for you to believe in your God. It's okay for you to believe in your God. But I'm telling you today, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and only through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And there's no way under heaven except through Jesus. Always humiliating such as we see and converse with, and seeking those things which are possessed and enjoyed by them. Now this way of the world affect pomp and pleasure, and falling to strifes and quarrels for the sake of these things is the certain consequences of being friends to the world. For there is no friendship without a oneness of spirit. You know, I'm talking about these Christians today. They are one with the world. I'm talking about these so-called Christians that love the world. They have become one in spirit. And you know, it's very interesting. You cannot be one with the world and be one with God. This is what James 4:4 says. And therefore, Christians, to avoid contentions, must avoid the friendship of the world, and must show that they are actuated by nobler principles than that of nobler spirit dwells in them. For if we belong to God, He gives more grace than to live and act as the generality of the world do. You know, the spirit of the world teaches men to lust. The spirit of the world teaches men to go to lay up and to lay out for themselves and to have all the pleasures. But God teaches us to be willing to communicate to the necessities and to comfort of others, and so as to do good to all about us according to our ability. very interesting. You know, the grace of God is contrary to the spirit of the world. The grace of God is contrary to the spirit of the world, and therefore the friendship of the world is to be avoided. If we pretend to be friends of God, yeah, the grace of God will correct and cure the spirit that naturally dwells in us. Where we giveth grace, he giveth another spirit than that of the world. I pray today that you will see that Jesus is getting smaller and the world is getting bigger. I pray today as you look around that you'll see worldly Christians and understand that worldly Christians will prosper financially, worldly and non-Christians. And you need to understand that Satan is training the masses to be churchy, preparing them for a world religion. We live in a churchy society. We live in a churchy world. And in America, we have created Hollywood Christians to prepare our minds for a world religion. And I will leave in one verse. Jude 1:4 warns the young God that ungodly men will creep into the church. That ungodly men will creep into the church and destroy the church. Is there such thing as a true church anymore? I don't believe so. But there is definitely a worldly church in America. And there are definitely Hollywood Christians in a churchy world. And we need to go back to Jesus. And we need to study who Jesus was. Go back to the life of Jesus.
Delegates from all over the world, VIPs, are attending to express their ideas and to experience peace in a very real way themselves. This experience will enable them also to draw new laws for universal peace. This will be endorsed by heads of state and submitted as a practical form for the United Nations. Delegates from all over the world, VIPs, are attending to express their ideas and to experience peace in a very real way themselves. This experience will enable them also to draw new laws for universal peace. This will be endorsed by heads of state and submitted as a practical form for the United Nations.